You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
What are you doing later?
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy. That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
This afternoon, we wrap up our spring training schedule on ESPN and the app with the World Series champion Dodgers taking on the Royals at 3 Eastern. Clayton Kershaw on the mound, Dave Fleming and Jess Mendoza will have the call. From the Seaport, Greeny here, delighted you are there. Dan Orlovsky looks like his own evil twin, Cam Jordan, live and in the flesh.
You guys do what you guys do best, and I'm going to sit here with my bag of popcorn.
What up, though?
America loves drunk Tom Brady.
Tequila doesn't allow you to realize anything.
I was on that yak.
I think this is hollow, so it would float.
Let the record show that Ninko today has now displayed a picture of himself sacking Russell Wilson in the Super Bowl behind him, and now his replica Lombardi trophy.
Hey, that's not a replica. That's from Tiffany's.
You and Ryan Clark with those Super Bowl trophies.
That is not even a humble brag.
That's a brag.
I welcome the one, the only, Jalen Rose.
You know that he's in his duffy.
I don't know what that means.
He's in his bag.
How is his hairline getting younger?
So crispy.
It has gotten ludicrous, but delightfully so.
This is how I like my get up. It's just like I like my coffee with just a touch of cream.
I mean, come on.
Back to you, Michael.
I'm pleased to be that.
What the French toast, bro?
This is going to require another meeting. Good fun here every single day, and we are so glad that you choose to get up with us. And with that, we welcome you to another hour here, coming to you live, as always, from above the Heineken River Deck at Pier 17. We're talking about the mock draft, and we have the man behind it. Todd McShay is ready to roll with us today. He's live. Mark Sanchez joins our party. The crew is ready to go, and we are talking about the McBoard. Here we go. Mock 3.0 from Todd McShay. And if he's right, it will be unprecedented. He's got four quarterbacks going at the very top. No surprise. Trevor Lawrence, number one to Jacksonville. It's been that way since the moment the season ended, and that won't change. At two, Todd has the New York Jets taking Zach Wilson from BYU. He completed 74% of his passes last year. That was second best in the country. At three, McShay has a trade. He has the Panthers coming up to take Ohio State's Justin Fields. That would put Fields ahead of Trey Lance, which is the opposite of the order that McShay had them going last time. Here's Lance now going number four in the newest mock draft to Atlanta. If this were to happen again, it would be the first time in the common draft era that we had quarterbacks with each of the first four picks. And then he's got a fifth one going at number nine overall. You see it there, Mac Jones projecting to San Francisco. So it is an offense heavy top of the draft. And again, we will see a lot of quarterbacks going on night one. And so here he is, McShay himself. And so Todd, let's start at number two, where all of this really does begin. We've known forever what's happening at number one. The Jets have some interesting decisions to make, and Sam Darnold, their current quarterback, is part of those. Why do you see them making the move away from him and taking Zach Wilson?
Listen, I don't know what they're going to do. And they're still deciding what they're going to do, and it's all about value. You got to realize, if you bring in Zach Wilson, you're paying him a fraction of what you're going to have to pay Sam Darnold down the road in that second contract. So that's what they have to figure out. And they also need to figure out what's the trade value. What can they get to move Darnold, or what can they get to move out of number two if they stick with Sam? So it's going to be interesting to see. To me, it's one of the most fascinating picks we've seen in a long time, because you've got an organization that has four first-round picks in a two-year span. I think eight picks in the first three rounds in a two-year span can even gain more draft capital by moving their quarterback or moving back if a team wants to move up. And you've got Atlanta at four and Carolina at eight and several other teams that might want to move into that number two spot. So it's a big decision that the Jets have to make that really could define the next 7-10 years of the organization.
For sure. And it is one. We'll see if they wind up taking that right up to the night of the draft or not. In the meantime, let's then go to number three. Justin Fields, it's such a fascinating season that he had because Ohio State's year, for those who didn't follow this closely, and the Big Ten, at first they weren't playing at all. Then they didn't start playing till the middle of October. That team had all kinds of COVID issues. So it was an up and down year for Justin Fields. How do you see him right now at this stage of the evaluation?
I think he's supremely talented. I think he has really good football intelligence. I think he likes to see his receivers get open before he throws. And then, you see that with so many different quarterbacks. But to me, he belongs in the top five, seven in terms of this year's draft. And the Carolina Panthers, I had them moving up to that number three spot because I think they are desperate to get a quarterback that can – they can win those games. I told you, the eight games that they lost by one score a year ago, they need a quarterback in the fourth quarter that can win a few of those and get them in a situation where they can make it into the playoffs. So I think Fields is so talented, and I think this is a unique year. You have Trevor Lawrence, who's a generational talent. You've got Zach Wilson, who reminds me a lot of Patrick Mahomes and Deshaun Watson, and then you've got Fields, who's got a chance to maybe be the best of them when it's all said and done if he's developed properly.
All right, let me bring Mark and Lewis into the conversation here. And Mark Sanchez, I'll get to you in a second because the Darnold piece of this, I'm fascinated by you. But Lewis, you brought up something earlier about Justin Fields. And because we're talking about him, I'd like to get to that. Your concern, and we'll get McShay in the conversation here. You said you had exactly those questions about his ability to come off of the first or second read. Let's get into that here with what you've seen from Justin Fields so far.
Look, I mean, I look at the games where he struggled, and why did you struggle? And it's really this. Look, Northwestern made a concerted effort to make sure they tried to take away the number one read and force him to go elsewhere, force him to scan the field quickly and find other options. And sometimes he wasn't quite able to do that. And when he wasn't able to do that, then everything kind of went helter-skelter in the pocket. And I can just tell you this from a defensive perspective. When I'm seeing that on tape, I'm saying this, look, I want to make sure I'm trying to make this guy think on his feet when it's not meaning and make it not so clean for him. I want him to get to number two, to number three, to execute the whole field. Because as he's trying to do that, what else is happening is my pass rush is working up front, and they're going to make that pocket more and more dirty as the down progresses. And that's what I saw him struggle with. Now, what I want to know is that a function of the offense? Is that a function of them not allowing him to do more within that offense? I want to know why he didn't seem to have more answers in certain situations. I'm not trying to knock the kid as far as what his mental ability is, because I don't know what it is. That's part of this process. That's what I would want to ask him, what I want to ask his coaches, and have a good feel for going into this draft.
McShay, those are the big questions. What do we know of the answers?
Well, first of all, Ryan Day is one of the best, I would say, quarterback coaches as a head coach in all of college football. And so he makes it a very quarterback-friendly system. I completely agree with what Lewis is saying, but you got to figure it out. I think he has great football intelligence. I do. I think he hasn't been asked maybe to get from that first read to the second read like some of the other pro-style systems that we see. Zach Wilson's in a more pro-style system. Trey Lance at North Dakota State, the FCS, is in a more pro-style system. But that's going to be the biggest progression that he has to make in Justin Fields. And I think he's going to be able to make it, but that's the gamble and the risk that you're taking if you're drafting him somewhere in the top five.
And Mark Sanchez, then let me circle back to you and with you to the second pick in this draft and the big decision that Todd was talking about that the Jets have to make here with regard to what to do about Sam Darnold and whether or not to draft the quarterback there at number two. I know he's someone you know well. He's a USC guy. You're a USC guy. How do you see that situation?
Most importantly, I think for Sam, he's got to get to a quarterback-friendly system, a quarterback-friendly coach immediately. He doesn't want to get caught waiting around, going back and forth with the Jets. Yes, we like you. No, we don't. While they're trying to find his replacement, I think there are options for him, and then they have to decide what is the best option, right? Do I go somewhere and compete week one as a starter? Maybe the Eagles, the Panthers, the 49ers? Or do I go somewhere and am I going to be a placeholder for their eventual, you know, rookie draft pick, somebody who takes, you know, Fields or Wilson or somebody else like that? Is that where he's going to go? But I think time is of the essence for him. He's got to make a move as soon as he can for the best possibility for his future.
Well, to be clear, when you say make a move, he really doesn't have the ability to make a move. So you what you're saying is you would like to see a move made regarding him, yes? And you would like to see him out of New York.
Yes. I think that's the best. If they're already entertaining all these other options like they are, if they could have gotten rid of him now already, I think they would have. So they're working with what they have right now, and that just shows you what his trade value is. I think it should be better than that, but unfortunately it's not right now, so they just got to do something fast to get him out of there.
Now, Lewis, let me circle back to you on that thought then. If you were the one making that decision, and of course they're evaluating this as closely as a person can, but would you be inclined right now to be thinking we need to restart the clock financially and reset the quarterback position at number two?
No, quite honestly, I wouldn't. I would be thinking about, one, you know, what is it that went wrong with Sam Darnold? Because it wasn't that long ago. Remember, we were having these kind of discussions about the fact that this is the kind of guy who can create second reaction throws. This is the kind of guy who doesn't need a perfect platform. This is the kind of guy who can throw the ball from different arm angles. Now, all of a sudden, it's like he's junk. Let's move on. Let's get the next hottest thing coming up right now.
I didn't say he's junk.
And then we just totally... No. I'm not saying you, Mark. I'm not saying you at all. I'm saying overall, okay? What I'm saying is overall, it's like, well, okay, we need to move on from him and maybe consider drafting a guy like Zach Wilson, number two overall, because he has... it's this recency bias thing again. And this is the thing I think people forget, or not forget, but they're not paying enough attention to. Look, we did their game on Monday night against the New England Patriots this past year. And in the games preceding that, watching their tape, this offensive line was a huge problem as far as pass protection. Their run game was a huge problem as far as creating yards per rush for their running backs. And Sam was in a situation where he just absolutely could not win. He could not win. And I agree with Mark in this regard. When you start hearing this talk already about, we like him, maybe we don't. If we could get some good value for him, we'd move on. Maybe we should keep him. We don't quite know what we're going to do. If I'm Sam, I'm like, get me the hell out of here then. Just get me out of here, because I know you don't really believe in me, and you're not keeping this in proper context in terms of the situation you put me in the first place. So I think they've already pushed this so far down the road, they have to move on.
He's 100% right. Mark, hold that thought. Here's what I have to let McShay go. McShay will join us later in the hour. Ali, our producer, we're coming back to this next. I'm taking a short break. We're coming back for more of this conversation in just a moment. I'm producing it from here. And we'll also talk about that guy, Deshaun Watson. Does he want out? We know he does. Is he going to get out? And how should that play out? And then Mark Sanchez is a huge fan of Dak Prescott. How is that situation going to play out? The quarterback conversation's coming fast and furious as we get up with you on ESPN.
NBA fans, listen up. You've got to try Pick 6, the newest fantasy app from DraftKings, an official partner of the NBA. Getting started is simple. Select if a player will have more or less of a stat. For example, will a player have more than one rebound, or will a player have less than 3.5 assists? Pick your favorite players and compete for huge cash prizes. Download the new DraftKings Pick 6 app now using code PARLAY and take on the competition with your best NBA player picks. Only on DraftKings Pick 6 with code PARLAY. The crown is yours. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 18 plus in most eligible states. Age varies by jurisdiction. Eligibility restrictions apply. Pick 6 not available in all states, including but not limited to Connecticut and New York. For up-to-date lists of states, visit dkng.co/pick6states. Void where prohibited. See terms at pick6.draftkings.com/promos.
All right, we got good college basketball coming your way tomorrow across all the networks, highlighted by two huge matchups on ESPN. Number 4, Illinois, taking on number 7, Ohio State. Both of those teams could wind up one seeds. And then you got Duke and Carolina squaring off. That's always epic. This one's a sonic blockbuster. It's all tomorrow on ESPN. Okay, as promised, we needed to come back to this conversation. If you were with us just moments ago, we were really into a pretty intense discussion of what should happen right at the top of this draft. We all know what's happening at number 1. And then the New York Jets at number 2 have a choice to make. They can try and build around Sam Darnold, for whom they traded up to 3. just 3 seasons ago and try and put a real team around him and try and win. Or they can use that second pick on one of the highly touted quarterbacks in this draft, but most notably in this case, Zach Wilson. And where we left off, Mark Sanchez, you were raising your hand, and I couldn't get you in then, but I can now. Mark, go.
Yeah, this is my favorite part of the year, Greeny. The McRib is back. The McShay mock draft is back. This is the best time of year, okay? Here's the deal. Sam Darnold is more than capable. The issue with Sam Darnold was the supporting cast last year. So I don't care who you bring in at quarterback for the New York Jets, they need help. That position, more than anything, more than any sport, more than any player on the team, needs help. That's just the bottom line. I think we all can agree with that. The problem is, and you know this market, Greeny, I know this market because I've lived it. I've lived the highs and the lows. He has too short of a leash right now. They need him to make plays that he's incapable of making because he doesn't have the supporting cast. And as soon as he goes 3 and out 2 times this year, he's getting booed. His ass is getting booed out of the stadium. Okay, so that's not fair to the kid to do that. That's why you could tell I'm jacked up right now, Greeny. I want this kid to do well. Obviously, I'm biased. I love him. But they got to do right by him and whichever quarterback goes in there. So the other issue for him is these quarterbacks at the top of the league, right? The Dak Prescotts, the Russell Wilsons, the Deshaun Watsons. These guys are drawing attention away from Sam in a year that's different than any other. These guys are talking about leaving. They're using their LeBron James, Tom Brady flexibility and saying like, hey, I want out of here. I'm the man in town. I don't like it. I'm out. That draws attention away from Sam because now you get teams that he could go to, the Eagles, the Broncos, all these other teams that he could go in and compete right now, the 49ers, they're all thinking, well, shoot, if we could get Deshaun Watson, if we could get Dak Prescott, if we could get Russell Wilson, Russell Wilson's available. See, this is all tough for Sam. This puts him in a very difficult spot.
I agree with literally 100% of the things that you just said. And I think this is not an unfair statement to make, Lewis Riddick, that Sam Darnold has been in a situation the last 3 years. I have no idea how good he might actually be, that practically no quarterback could have succeeded in, right? He has had no chance. So I do not think any evaluation of him at this stage, Lewis, is anything other than premature. They're going to do all the work they can on it with the Jets, but that is the way I think, the only reasonable way to view him right now, Lewis Riddick.
And Greeny, you know what? We all know this. We all know that if we are going to truly take an intelligent look at football, and in particular quarterback play, we know as much as we want to make it just about them and attach quarterback wins to quarterbacks and put all of it on them as far as heaping the praise and putting all of it on them as far as giving them the blame, we know it doesn't really work that way. And we know in the case of Sam Darnold, there's a reason why they lost all the football games that they lost, and it wasn't simply because Sam Darnold isn't good enough. Sam Darnold isn't tough enough. Sam Darnold isn't, you know, able to handle the pressure of the New York market, blah, 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 blah. It was abysmal around him, and they know it. We know it. The people who played with him know it. The people who played against him know it. But the fact of the matter is this, when we get to this time of year, and when we really start looking at how teams assign blame and really take credit as far as for success, we know that a lot of it, the quarter gets dumped on the quarterback, and Sam's getting dumped on here. And I agree. He may need to move on, but that doesn't mean necessarily that's the right thing to do.
And so, Graziano, quickly, from the people you talk to around the league, what is the expectation? Because all of eyes will be on number two. Is the expectation at this stage of their evaluation, what is it?
I think that most people you talk to on the outside are expecting the Jets to move on and take a quarterback at two and try and trade Sam Darnold. I know, you know, listening to Todd McShay, obviously he knows as well, the Jets haven't quite gotten to the point where they've made that decision yet, so the outside speculation is just that. But a lot of it will come down to what they can get in return for Sam Darnold, what they could get in return for the number two pick. How far back would you have to go? Are you only going back to 4 with the Falcons? Are you going back to 8 with the Panthers? You know, that can determine which way you go because, as Todd pointed out, it is all about value, and that's where the Jets are right now, asking themselves those questions.
All right, we're just getting this hour rolling with all kinds of football conversation on the way. It's not exactly a slam dunk. Wait until you hear just how risky it is to draft any quarterback in the first round. That's on the way. This is Get Up on ESPN.
Hey, Passion, drive, and patience. The formula for winning championships is also what keeps your ride or die alive. eBay Motors has everything you need to maintain your vehicle and level it up to peak performance. Superchargers, roof racks, exhaust kits, LED headlights, and more. Whether you're into speed, power, or style, eBay Motors has you covered. With over 122 million parts for your number one ride or die, you'll always find exactly what you're looking for. And with eBay Guaranteed Fit, your part is guaranteed to fit your ride every time or your money back. Because with eBay Motors, you're burning rubber, not cash. With all the parts you need at the prices you want, it's easy to make your car the MVP and bring home huge wins. Keep your ride or die alive at ebaymotors.com. Eligible items only. Exclusions apply.
We're back on Get Up, and that is Sneaky Hembo, and he's coming for Graziano today. Here's the question. Which Hall of Fame quarterback owns the record for most touchdown passes in his final NFL season? That's the question. We'll see if Graziano can get that one right. He is as good at this as anyone is at anything. And as we continue, coming up, who will blink first in Houston? Are the Texans already making an enormous mistake? That's on the way. You're watching Get Up on ESPN.
Delicious, meat nutritious, in the snack that packs a real protein punch. Wonderful pistachios, one of the highest protein nuts out there. Each 1 ounce serving has 6 grams of protein, giving you over 10% of your daily value. Wonderful pistachios also come in a variety of flavors and sizes, perfect for enjoying with family and friends or taking them with you on the go. And you're on the go a lot, taking the kids to school, hopping from meeting to meeting, shopping for groceries. Well, the good news is, not only are Wonderful pistachios a complete protein, providing all 9 essential amino acids, they're also great for all your adventures. So whether you're a pistachio purist who loves cracking open every nut or you prefer the convenience of no-shells pistachios, Wonderful Pistachios has got you covered. Grab Wonderful Pistachios and elevate your snacking game today. Visit WonderfulPistachios.com to learn more.
We really look forward to this every single day when Hembo goes up against Graziano. Dan, which Hall of Fame quarterback has the record for most touchdown passes in his final season?
Greeny, it's been a tough morning for me. I'm distracted by questions of my own, like, are Sanchez and Tannenbaum going to fight? Do you even know what a McRib is? Is that electronic football game behind Lewis Riddick in operational order, and can I come over and play with it? So I really don't know. I haven't had time to think about this. Just going to guess. Staubach, I think, was still playing well at the end. Is it Roger Staubach?
Oh, my God. Oh, my God. He got
come
it right.
On.
He just threw a name out, and he got it right. I cannot believe this.
I know this is an all-time streak. I don't know what's going on.
Hembo and I talked about it during the break that there was no way in the world he was going to get it. It's Roger Staubach.
It was Marino last week. It couldn't be him again. I don't know. Staubach, always a good guess.
Staubach is first. Kurt Warner, by the way, is second. That is unbelievable.
I would have got that.
All right. Graziano, let's run the hurry up here with the latest on a bunch of quarterbacks. Let's begin with Big Ben.
Big Ben Roethlisberger and the Steelers agreed to a new contract for 2021. He is taking $5 million less this year than he was scheduled to, from $19 million down to $14 million. We'll save them about $15 million on their salary cap this year. They'll carry a $10 million dead money charge for him next year, but obviously they're not worried about that. They wanted Ben back. He wanted to be back. He's back. Now they have other work to do. The Cowboys and Dak Prescott still have work to do on a contract extension, which both sides still want. There have been conversations between the sides recently. As recently as this week, Tuesday is the deadline for teams to apply the franchise tag. Cowboys will do that again if there's no long-term deal in place. And for the second year in a row, it will be the exclusive version of the franchise tag, which means no other team can make Dak Prescott an offer. Teams are trying to make the Houston Texans offers for Deshaun Watson, but the Texans still aren't listening. Watson has made it clear that he does not want to play for the Houston Texans ever again. The Houston Texans are trying to make it clear that they have no intention of trading him. I've been told by sources this week that the Texans are comfortable with letting Watson sit out the season if that's really what he wants to do. Obviously, a lot of tough talk from both sides. We'll see how this situation plays out in the coming weeks and months.
Yes, absolutely. And I wanted to actually stop down on that here for a moment, because Mark Sanchez, we've not had you on the show
for a long time while this whole thing has been brewing. And you mentioned it just a few minutes ago in the context of a different conversation, that a guy like Deshaun Watson is driving so many other teams' quarterback decisions. But right now the Texans are saying they're not willing to trade him. What is your perspective on how this thing is playing out and what should happen from here?
Well, I think this thing's going to be a mess going into September. I would not be shocked if that's the case, if this is a situation like we saw with Carson Palmer and the Cincinnati Bengals, and both teams just saying, hey, whoever wants to flinch first, go for it, both sides, really. But the only thing that's a draw for Deshaun Watson in Texas right now is that there's no state income tax and he's getting paid a lot of money. Other than that, I wouldn't want to go play quarterback there. I don't know if there's anything attractive about that place. You give up DeAndre Hopkins last year in free agency. Nobody knows if Will Fuller's coming back. what other weapons do you have offensively? You just lost J.J. Watt. What's attractive about that place? Even if they get to a place where both sides say, hey, let's talk about it, what can you possibly offer this kid that makes him want to go there? Their roster's looking more and more like the New York Jets.
Yeah, it's a terrible situation, and yet the on-the-field piece of it feels like that's just a small part of the puzzle, right, Lewis? There is more going on here for Deshaun Watson than just this is a bad team right now. But you made an interesting point earlier, Lewis, and I'd like you to get to it, because Graziano just said the Texans are dug in and they're willing to let him sit out the season if that's what's going to happen. And I asked in the meeting, and I'll ask it to you, what exact purpose does that serve?
Yeah, that's a great question. And that's the question that I have, because right now you're just cutting off your nose to spite your face, and you want to send him a message, and you want to make sure that, you know, you don't establish this precedent that anytime a player is disgruntled about the way we do business here, that they can just come in into the front office and say, I want to get out of here. Well, this isn't just a one-off type of situation. Every significant individual that has laced them up for that franchise leaves there and doesn't have very flattering things to say about how they handle business. Every significant one. I mean, you've already saw what Andre Johnson has said. We know how DeAndre Hopkins left there. Now we're seeing Deshaun Watson. JJ asked to be released so he can go somewhere. And he said, look, to compete for championships. And we know what the rumblings are underneath as far as how disappointed they are as far as how they conduct business. So you would think that Houston would look internally and look inside themselves and go, what are we doing wrong here to make all these guys talk badly about us? But no, let's just send Deshaun a message, make him sit out all year, not recoup anything for him, maybe go 3-13 this time, or maybe 2-14 instead of 4-12, but we will have sent him a message. That's just ridiculous, and I don't understand what the point is. I guess, you know, maybe some teams just aren't incentivized enough really to win. That's a problem.
Right, and there's another side to that too, Mark, as a player who played recently. That message is also being sent to every other player around the National Football League, right? They're all seeing this thing play out, and I have to believe the Texans, who will probably already have a very difficult time convincing anyone to come play for them, if this Deshaun Watson, the longer this thing stays hanging over them, I have to believe players talk to each other, they're going to have a tough time getting anybody to want to come there, Mark.
Oh, I guarantee the word around the league is, hey, man, don't go near Houston. I mean, avoid that place. At all costs, unless it's your last deal and you're trying to get your last contract and take care of your family and secure something financially, don't go there. That's not the place you want to be.
Yeah, that point was just made the other day by someone. I forget. Oh, it was Cam Jordan who was on here the other day saying for a while, Dan Graziano, that people viewed the Cleveland Browns that way. That's a team you just didn't want any part of. Clearly, to their everlasting credit, they have changed that perspective. Does it feel to you as we work our way towards free agency in just a few days that the Houston Texans are that kind of team right now?
Sure. Obviously, there's been a lot of bad publicity around that team going back to the DeAndre Hopkins trade and prior to that. Plus, you know, there are a lot of free agents don't want to go somewhere if they don't know who the quarterback's going to be. So that's a factor as well if they don't have the Deshaun Watson situation ironed out by then. Absolutely, it will be a factor in people's decision making.
All right, much more football as we go. Todd McShay is going to rejoin us in just a few minutes and back to the draft. But tomorrow is fight night, and it will be must-see TV. Three championships on the line at UFC 259 in Las Vegas. The card headlined by a super fight between light heavyweight champion Jan Blachowicz and middleweight champ Israel Adesanya, with Blachowicz's title on the line. And a reminder, the DraftKings is the official daily fantasy sports partner of UFC, and this Saturday, new players can play free for over $100,000 in prizes when you make your deposit. Download the DraftKings app, sign up with the promo code Octagon for your chance at $100,000 in prizes only on DraftKings. And let us now bring in our very own Daniel Cormier, who is ready for the night. Daniel, great to see you. You are one of only four athletes to hold two titles at the same time. From your experience, what will be Adesanya's biggest challenge in trying to do that tomorrow?
Well, you know, for Izzy, it's about him fighting his fight, but also dealing with the extra weight. Greeny, Izzy's going to weigh in at 193 pounds this morning. The weight is 205. Jan Błachowicz is going to go into the octagon over 220. So it's going to be a little bit of a difference for him in MMA, but in his kickboxing career, he fought all the way up at heavyweight. So this is a young man that understands managing the weight differences, but Jan Błachowicz is a big, powerful guy that has every intention on not allowing Izzy to join that club of double champions.
Now, that is just one of several huge fights tomorrow night. Amanda Nunes is a huge favorite in another, in the co-main event. If you were coaching her opponent, Megan Anderson, what would you tell her is the best approach to try and pull off what would be a substantial upset?
I mean, this would be the biggest upset in UFC history. There has never been anything like this. Amanda goes into fights every time minus 1,000, as she is against Megan Anderson this time. Megan Anderson is a big girl. She's a massive girl for the weight class, a true 145-pound fighter. She needs to go forward, try to put Amanda on her back. The only areas that we've seen Amanda Nunes struggle, and that was a long time ago, was when she's taken down and fatigue sets in. But this is the greatest female fighter of all time, and she deserves to be viewed in the light that she is. This is a big ask for Megan Anderson. She has worked her way into a title fight, but the mountain to climb against Amanda Nunes is one that is so formidable that no one has been able to even really challenge her as of late.
All right, so we will see what happens there. And then one more thing I wanted to ask you while I have you. Anyone who knows you are a huge fan of the New Orleans Saints. So what are your thoughts on the possibility of Russell Wilson coming to New Orleans?
Wait, listen, man, when I saw him list the Saints, because we deal with, me as a fan, I dealt with Harden wanting out of Houston, Drew Brees retiring. I was like, we never get any love. But then I saw Wilson put the Saints on the short list, and I just started, got on my knees and said a prayer, like, come on, please, man. If we can roll from Drew Brees into Russell Wilson, we got a chance because the team is made. The team is ready to win right now. You add a piece like that, and we go win a Super Bowl. I'm just excited. I hope it works. The mayor's begging. Everybody in New Orleans, we're sitting on pins and needles hoping that Russ, let me tell you something, man. Down on Bourbon Street, the food's fantastic. We can help you. It's going to be a great fit if you come down to the bayou. It's a beautiful place to live.
That's an outstanding sales pitch. Daniel, great to see you. Thank you so much. We'll see you tomorrow. Huge night for all of us here at ESPN. We got the fights. UFC 259, the stacked card. Prelims start 8 Eastern on ESPN, ESPN Plus, and ESPN Deportes. The main card begins 10 Eastern on pay-per-view. To order in English and Spanish, go to ESPNplus.com/PPV. But wait, there's more. How about the NBA game of the night last night? And it was a good one between the Bucks and the Grizzlies. And it's Giannis on the road. We'll pick it up late in the fourth. Under four to play. Grizzlies up one. Ja Morant working on Giannis and gets it to go. The Grizz up three. 40 seconds to go. The Grizzlies lead is two. It's Giannis. He's kicking it. It's Pat Connaughton. He's knocking it down. Bucks a one-point lead. 12 seconds left. Bucks still up one. Watch Morant. You just can't stop this guy. 35 for him. Grizz up one with 7 seconds left. Stay with the play. Drew Holiday to the baseline. 2 seconds left. Bang! He knocks it down. Holiday had 15. Morant now inbounding, trying to find a way to the win. Desmond Bane throws it up. Three-pointer is no good, and the Bucks hang on. Giannis 26, 11 rebounds and 8 assists. Milwaukee wins at 112-111. As we continue next, back to McShay's McBoard, and it's not exactly a slam dunk. Wait till you hear just how risky it is to draft any quarterback in round one. That's next on Get Up.
Tired of ads interrupting your favorite sports podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music, included with your Prime membership. Amazon Music offers the most ad-free top podcasts. Enjoy shows like First Take, Pardon the Interruption, and The Low Post, available ad-free and uninterrupted. To start listening, download the Amazon Music app or go to amazon.com/ESPN pods. That's amazon.com/ESPN pods to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Lift every voice and sing.
In 1946, Marion Motley and Bill Willis were two of the first African Americans to play pro football. They went on to win five consecutive championships with the Browns. But it was their perseverance that helped convince Brooklyn Dodgers general manager Branch Rickey that Jackie Robinson could break baseball's color barrier the very next year.
We've got baseball coming your way this afternoon, wrapping up our spring training schedule on ESPN. World Series champion Dodgers take on the Royals 3 Eastern. Clayton Kershaw on the mound. Dave Fleming and Jess Mendoza behind the mic. Looking forward to that. And with that, we welcome you back to our studio. I'm Mike Greenberg. This is Get Up on ESPN. We're with you live and commercial free for the next 13 minutes, taking you to the top of the hour. And that is when First Take takes over. Is Ben Roethlisberger the worst quarterback in the AFC North? Should the Seahawks be actively shopping Russell Wilson? Stephen A. Max and Charlie will discuss that and more as they join us at the top of the hour. Again, we are with you commercial free from now until then. And we're talking about quarterbacks because at the end of the day, that is without question the most important position in all of team sports. And every year at the NFL draft, a bunch of teams look to solve their problems at the position. Now, hitting on a quarterback early in the draft can, of course, lead to all kinds of success. But history shows drafting a quarterback is a very, very risky proposition. For every Patrick Mahomes, for every Deshaun Watson, there is a Josh Rosen and a Johnny Manziel. When they tell you drafting a quarterback in the first round is a 50-50 proposition, they are actually being generous. Fewer than half the quarterbacks drafted in round one wind up making a single Pro Bowl, not one. And here are some more incredible numbers. Only 40% of first-round quarterbacks wind up signing a second contract with the team that took them.
With the second pick, the Philadelphia Eagles select Carson Wentz.
When Carson Wentz said, bye, Eagles, bye, it ushered in this. Of the 22 quarterbacks drafted in round one between 2009 and 2016, not a single one of them remains on the team that drafted them. That's right, none.
With the 10th pick, the Kansas City Chiefs select Patrick Mahomes, the second.
There have been 37 quarterbacks drafted in the first round since 2009. That's 12 drafts. Mahomes is the only one among them to win a Super Bowl as a starter. Jared Goff and Cam Newton are the only others to even reach one. The highest graded quarterbacks of the last 10 years are Andrew Luck, Jameis Winston, RG3, and Blaine Gabbert. Luck has since retired. None of the other three were starters this season. So, if you think there is anything about this that is an exact science, think again. Being drafted in the first round doesn't guarantee you a thing. And that said, we know that there will be five, or at least we overwhelmingly anticipate there will be five quarterbacks that go in the first round this year. And as we released Todd McShay's Mock Draft 3.0, he has four of them going with the first four picks, and then the fifth in Mac Jones going in the top nine. So it is that kind of year. And we have Todd McShay back with us here in this conversation with Lewis and Mark Sanchez. And Todd, how would you describe why? You just heard all of those stats there, and you've heard them a million times. Why is it such a risky proposition taking any quarterback in the first round?
I've never missed Greeny. I have no idea what you're talking about. It's easy, right? Now, I mean, there's so many factors from the scheme they're playing in to where they ultimately wind up in the system that they're in and the supporting cast that they have. And so many of these guys get drafted early and are in situations with teams that don't have good talent around them. So it makes it really difficult. But I still love it. It's my favorite part of this job is evaluating quarterbacks. It's the first thing I do when the season's over is go study the tape on all these guys because I'm dying to try to get more information. And I've learned from all of my big mistakes.
So that said, you've got five of them going in the first nine picks. Who would you define, Todd McShay, as the riskiest? Which, if we talk about risk, which one do you think comes with the most risk this year?
Yeah, I would say risk reward goes to Trey Lance, the North Dakota State quarterback, who played in a pro-style system. He's big. He's physical. I think he has fast eyes and can process. I think he has all the tools. The problem is I just haven't seen enough of him. I've seen 17 starts, which is scary. You want to see somewhere in that 25 to 35 range. And with just 17, you just don't know what you're getting when you're buying that quarterback. So to me, he has all of the tools mentally and physically to be great, but you just haven't seen enough of them.
Sanchez, how about you? Which is, if you look at these guys, which one do you think has the most risk?
Yeah, I'd agree with Todd on that one. I think Trey Lance is that guy. He's got a little bit of a longer release, not the end of the world. That's something he could potentially work on. But really what I saw when I see him, I can't unsee Jalen Hurts. I see a lot of Jalen Hurts in him. I also see this inaccuracy, and I mean just slightly, right, where he slows down the receiver, he slows down their forward progress, and he limits yards after the catch. In coach speak, he's essentially leaving meat on the bone. There's big plays to be had that they don't capitalize on because he misses just slightly. So that's my only knock on him. And then the level of competition, number of games, number of starts, you know, that was a knock on me coming out in the draft, only 16 starts. So those are all factors. That's why I think he's risky.
And I will remind everyone, just in case you don't know, not having played many games is not his fault. That was not because he's choosing that. Sure. His team didn't play the season this year basically because of COVID. They scheduled one game, so that was the only one he had the chance to play. Lewis, how about you? The quarterback in the first round this year that you think has the highest risk?
Yeah, I'm going to go with Justin Fields, and I know this is going to be one that's going to cause a lot of discussion, but my point being this, from a defensive player perspective, I could see what defensive coordinators saw about what is the key to really troubling, to really confusing Justin Fields, and that's this. Look, you have to sell out and make it hard for him to not be able to go where he is looking initially. Read number one, read number two. If you can get him to hold and second guess himself, that's where bad decisions, I thought, really came into play with him. And you saw it time and time again against Northwestern. So for me, if I'm drafting him, I want to know why those things happened. I want to know if it was a function of the offense, if it was a function of them not allowing him to be more creative on the football field in terms of having other options that he could go to, or did he not have the answers? I just want to know that. And if I could get those kind of questions answered, then look, physically, he's as gifted, if not more gifted, than every single other quarterback in this draft. But until I have those answers, I'd be a little bit leery at this point in time. And that's what makes it so cool. That's what makes this whole draft debate and quarterback debate so intriguing.
Teams basically have 8 weeks to make those decisions and those evaluations. Meanwhile, let's take a look again, if I can, at the five quarterbacks that he has going in this group. Again, Mac Jones is the fifth one, and you see the others who round out Todd McShay's top 10 in his current mock draft 3.0. So I like to do things a little differently on the show. I usually ask these guys all the questions, but I want to give some of my teammates here the opportunity to ask McShay some questions about his mock draft. So who's first up? Dan Graziano.
Oh, what boy. Is
your question? Here we go, McShay. Get ready. Fasten your seatbelt. Here's a question from Dan Graziano. Go.
Yeah, Todd, I just wonder, based on how weird everything's been, right? The opt-outs, the weird scheduling, no combine. For you as an evaluator, what's been the most difficult challenge as a result of this unprecedented strange year?
Not being able to talk to scouts who have the medical and the one-on-one personal time that they have typically in a year. The only time that these scouts have had one-on-one, face-to-face time to like really get to know a player was at the Senior Bowl, and that was between plexiglass. So it's been different. I've had so many different scouts and general managers call me with actual questions rather than just wanting to bat it back and forth, like asking me, what have you seen? Because you've been on the field as an analyst for X amount of games with this team. What have you seen from that quarterback, or what have you seen from these players? And it's so different.
There's a little less certainty this year than usual, but as we just showed you, it's a 50-50 proposition any other year anyway. Who is next? Lewis, what is your question for McShay?
I mean, all right, fine. Here it is. Come on, McShay. I want to know why this. How in the world did you put How did you have Dallas taking Patrick Surtain over Caleb Farley? Just tell me why you did that. Why didn't you like Caleb Farley better than Patrick Surtain?
It's a good question. I think Surtain is a more complete player. He's going to defend the run more. He's long. He's got all the tools. Obviously, he comes from a good background in terms of the NFL experience with his dad, 14 years in the league. Farley, let's put it this way. You're a DB guy. If I had to cover one wide receiver on one route, one time I would go with Farley. I think he's the man-to-man guy, but he is a buffet tackler. He picks and chooses, and he's not as physical. That's why.
That may literally be first question that we have had about a defensive player in this draft in all the time that we've been talking about it, which should give you some indication of where everybody's priorities are in football.
Of course I was going to go that route,
Sanchez,
Greeny.
What is your question for Todd McShay, Mark Sanchez?
Obviously, I'm going quarterback, but Foxborough, the New England Patriots, that place is like Fort Knox. You don't get a peep out of there, and all of a sudden we get everybody talking about, hey, Belichick's in love with Mac Jones. He's going to do everything he can to get him in this draft. Todd, tell me the truth. What's going on? Is this real, or is this just propaganda?
I've heard the same thing, and I don't trust it at all. Everything that I hear about New England and everything I hear from people in and around the Patriots, the Patriots situation, I never trust. It's always the opposite. I think they're going to wind up going with a veteran. I think that he's going to wind up keeping that pick at 15 and trying to continue to build the defense probably and bring in a special player on that side of the ball. It won't surprise me at all if they just stand pat, let all five of these quarterbacks go ahead of them and say, yeah, we're good. We'll just bring in one of these veterans. Jimmy Garoppolo makes a lot of sense because of everything that happened before and basically the reason that they got the breakup between Belichick and Brady. But who knows? We'll have to wait and see. But I do not think they're going to wind up moving up, and I don't think the Patriots are going to wind up drafting a quarterback.
Okay, fair enough. We will see how all that plays out. Again, the entire mock draft is available on ESPN+. Quickly, I have some news that has just come in from Adam Schefter's Twitter feed, and it's not a surprise, but the Washington football team has released Alex Smith, who was this year's choice for the NFL's Comeback Player of the Year, overwhelmingly so. He has been released. They save almost $15 million in cap space. So in an offseason where Deshaun Watson might be available, Dak Prescott might be available, Russell Wilson might be available. Lewis, how interested do you think teams will be in Alex Smith as he becomes available now?
Look, I think Alex is a tremendous mentor. I think Alex would be a tremendous bridge quarterback at this point in time. Obviously, people are going to really try and connect the dots between him and Chicago, given his familiarity with Matt Nagy and that system that they run in Chicago like it was in Kansas City. I don't think that's the option that they're looking for. But look, I have nothing but infinite respect for Alex Smith, and any team would be better served having him in their quarterback room for sure.
I think everybody feels that way. Graziano, watch your – again, Sanchez has his hand up again. Go ahead, Mark.
What about Jacksonville? Urban Meyer, he can help Trevor Lawrence, help Trevor Lawrence's transition. He played for Urban Meyer. I don't know. I just thought about that.
He did. It's good. He did. He played for him at Utah and was the number one pick in the draft.
That's a great point, Mark.
How about that? Graziano, what should we expect here real quick?
Yeah, I think he'll be of interest, like Lewis says, a bridge guy. Look, let's say San Francisco does decide to trade Jimmy Garoppolo and draft a quarterback. Then Alex Smith maybe goes back to where it all began. Let's say he's the option in New England if they're developing a young guy. He'll be appealing. His reputation around the league is outstanding, and obviously no one can question what he went through and survived and came back from this year. So he'll have some interest if he wants
all right.
to play.
Just an outstanding day. Again, McShay, fabulous work by you. The mock draft is up. I will talk to you on the radio in an hour. I have a lot of questions. I will be coast to coast on ESPN Radio in 60 seconds, as a matter of fact. And First Take is next right here, right now.